Well, we all know that cancer takes too many lives, but, you know, researchers are working very hard every day to find some new treatments, and we're going to be talking about some of that research with our next guest, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. With us today, Dr. Jamie Weichert, a professor of radiology, a medical physics and pharmaceutics, and director of the Contrast Agent Laboratory at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Jamie Weichert, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Larry. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Dr. Zachary Morris is vice chair and assistant professor of human oncology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And Dr. Morris, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Appreciate you having us on.
Well, the two guys are part of a research team that's working to make cancer cells more susceptible to attack by our own immune system. That would be very good news. And as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about this research? What questions do you have about the new cancer treatments? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Maybe we could start by talking about how you got involved in doing cancer research. Dr. Weichert, start with you maybe.
Well, I'm clearly the elder citizen here in the group, and probably older than you are, Larry, but I've been doing this literally for 30 years, you know, I just was drawn to cancer research. You know, we've all had close relatives that died from cancer. And so for me, that was a draw to that as a medicinal chemist or a molecular designer, if you will. You know, I just saw it as a challenge as to how do you get around the body's amazing ability to take care of molecules that are injected intravenously, for one thing, or ingested. And so that was the challenge for me and drew me into this. My first job as an undergrad was in a radiopharmacy, and I'm still doing it to this day. So it's that's been my journey here. It was a short journey initially, but it's been a long road now. And to be honest, Larry, this is the most promising approach I've ever seen. And Zach and I will talk about the amazing team of people that are assembled to work on this. So that's it for me, I guess.
Well, I'm excited to talk about it. Dr. Morris, maybe you can talk about how you got interested in all this.
Yeah, you know, my interest in cancer goes back to childhood. Like Jamie mentioned, I think for a lot of us had a family history of cancer and lost a grandmother when I was 10. And despite that young age, sort of set a spark off for me of wanting to be a cancer doctor. And I was at Ripon College and got more involved in the research side as well, and decided to go into a career as a physician scientist. And so I got a couple master's degrees and then an MD and PhD, and completed my residency here at the University of Wisconsin in radiation oncology. And during that time, I started doing research with Paul Sondell, who's here, a preeminent pediatric immunologist and oncologist, and started working on a project where we were looking at using immunotherapies to try to attack cancer cells. This is something that has really exploded onto the scene of cancer therapy in the last decade or so. We've been trying to use the immune system to attack cancer for 100 years or more now as a field of oncology, but only in the last decade have we really had some of the tools that have where we've seen this make a big impact. And what we were working on was trying to improve on some of those immunotherapies using radiation treatments. So we started out giving radiation to one tumor, basically, with the idea being that we would almost turn that tumor into a personalized vaccine for that patient's cancer. We would kill some of those tumor cells in a way that would help that patient's immune system better recognize their cancer. And what we found surprised us is that, you know, not only could we do that in situations where there was one tumor or maybe one tumor and some microscopic tumor cells circulating around the body, but if we did that when there were multiple tumors, which unfortunately for most patients with metastatic cancer is the case, the tumors that were not treated with radiation actually had a negative impact and sort of blocked that effect of that vaccine. And so that's when we reached out to Jamie and his team, because they had developed a technique where they could give radiation basically to all tumor sites in the body and do so selectively in a way that would deliver that radiation to the tumor but not hit the immune cells in the bone marrow per se.
Wow. Well, I think this is where you take over, Jamie. Tell us how what the process is that I suppose it would take you a lot more than this program to describe it, but just how is this process able to be accomplished?
Well, I think we've, you know, my whole career have been working on tumor-targeted small molecules, and it just turns out we've been working on alkyl phosphocholines for the past 20 years, and a newer version of that enables us to put a wide variety of isotopes on the molecule to deliver it, you know, pretty selectively to tumor cells anywhere in the body, and that's the key here. As Zach mentioned, you know, the beauty of that story and why they had to call me in is when they had a second tumor in those animals, they wouldn't respond. And they went from complete response to no response just by having a second tumor on board. And so we needed a way that we could deliver a relatively small amount of radiation. And I term it, in my sense, as I'm not a biologist, Larry, but you know, we needed to scuff that tumor up a little bit, all the tumors up a little bit, so they get enhance their recognition by the immune cells. And so we've had molecules. It's what we do for a living is design molecules to target tumors. And, you know, and that by itself is a pretty intense process that we're very fortunate to have. And I would, you know, I'm sure Zach will go into this, but the uniqueness of this whole approach here is that we needed to have expertise in developing agents, expertise in imaging and dosimetry, expertise in radiation therapy, expertise in isotope production and radiochemistry. And of course, one of the strongest points about this whole team is the immunotherapy component of it. And of course, we had to have strong statistical analysis to be able to validate everything that we've been doing. But, you know, Zach can tell you we've had some amazing results so far, you know, and later we'll talk in more detail about some of these specific studies. But it's just a unique, very multidisciplinary project that UW just happens to have phenomenal experts in each of these areas, and you know, are getting together with Zach and his group. I think, you know, neither of us could have done this alone, and the fact that we were put together, I think by a grant that was started at UW to encourage these sorts of interdisciplinary.
Oh, we lost you there, I think.
We froze out.
Dr. Morris, maybe you want to jump in there for a sec.
Yeah, what Jamie was pointing out was that this interaction was made possible by a grant started here internally at UW, and it was funded not only by WARF, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, but I believe also in part, in no small part, due to the kinds of donations that folks have given to the Cancer Center over the years. And those sorts of philanthropic gifts really made a huge impact on this work early on, because while we've now secured upwards of $20 million in research funding to support this project, you can't do that without generating a lot of convincing and compelling data to convince NIH and federal grant reviewers that what you're saying isn't just a great idea, but that it's plausible and actually feasible to do and that you can carry it out. And those types of projects, in order to get to that point, require a lot of seed money, so to speak. And so that was something that we were really grateful for, folks in the community stepping forward to help out.
Well, we are going to get into more detail on this with our two guests today. Dr. Jamie Weichert, PhD professor of radiology, medical physics, and pharmaceutics, and director of the Contrast Agent Laboratory at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And also with us today, Dr. Zachary Morris, vice chair and assistant professor of human oncology at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And you'll be able to join in. In fact, you could join in right now if you want to. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org as we talk about this research on new ways to fight cancer. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about groundbreaking cancer treatment research with our guests today. Dr. Zachary Morris, vice chair and assistant professor of human oncology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and with Dr. Jamie Weichert, a professor of radiology, medical physics, and pharmaceutics, and director of the Contrast Agent Laboratory, also at the School of Medicine and Public Health. And they're part of a research team working to make cancer cells more susceptible to attack by our own immune system. Sounds pretty good to me. And if you have questions or comments, I hope you'll join in as we talk with them. What questions do you have about new cancer treatments? Join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or go ahead and email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And you know what? Alex in Madison has a question that relates right to what we're talking about here, I think. So let's go there. Alex, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. So I'm actually a medical student with the university here. I listened to the show all the time on my lunch break, so I was really excited to hear a topic that I might be able to ask a good question about. So I was wondering, with this new immunologic cancer treatment, is it showing different levels of effectiveness against different kind of cancers? And if so, do we have a known reason why some cancers are more affected than others with this treatment? Thank you.
Oh, good questions there. Let's see, who wants to take that one?
I think Zach does.
Zach, go ahead. Dr.
Yeah,
Zach Morris.
Alex, that's a great question, and thank you. So, yes, different types of cancers have different susceptibilities to immune response, and there's a lot we're still learning about this. On a fundamental level, any cancer that we see clinically has undergone a process that what we call sort of immunoediting. And you can think of that almost like a small scale natural selection. As a tumor emerges, many tumor cells can potentially be detected by our own immune systems and they're eliminated. So the tumors that we see clinically are those that have evaded or escaped immune detection. And that happens through a number of processes. And in some cases, it happens because the tumor cells that escape immune detection express certain proteins on the surface of those cancer cells that inactivate immune responses. And so the immunotherapies that are, I would say, the most prominent in clinical use right now are antibodies that target those proteins and block them. So basically you take the brakes off the immune system and allow it to resume eradicating cancer cells. The cancer cells put on the brakes by expressing a protein that turns off the immune system. And if you block that with an antibody, then you unleash the immune system again. And so the patients who respond most now to these immunotherapies are those whose cancers have evaded immune detection because of that mechanism. And what's interesting is that that happens in some subset of cancer patients across a wide variety of different tumors. So that includes lung cancer, melanoma, head and neck cancers. One of the unique things about immunotherapies is that it's not specific to one type of cancer, but it can be specific to a type of mechanism whereby that cancer evaded immune detection to begin with. Another thing that happens is that the more mutations a cancer cell has, now seemingly that would be a bad thing. Mutations give rise to cancers. The more mutations, though, that a cancer has, the more that it looks different to our immune system compared to the rest of our body, because those mutations can produce abnormal proteins, and that's what the immune system actually sees. And so the cancers that are often induced by chronic DNA damage that have high mutation levels, like melanomas induced by chronic sun exposure, or like lung cancers induced by chronic tobacco use, those are the tumors that we see often respond best to immunotherapy, probably because each of those mutations translates into an opportunity for the immune system to recognize that cancer cell is different from all the other cells in our body. And so those are things that tend to predict response. And the tumors that don't respond are then often termed immunologically cold. And those are the types of tumors that with this grant and other work, we and many others are trying to convert basically those immunologically cold tumors into immunologically hot tumors that our immune system can recognize. And so basically we're trying to do so by activating various mechanisms to better help the immune system recognize these cancers that haven't yet been well recognized by our own immune systems de novo.
So our immune system, then, it can do a pretty good job of eliminating cancers once it's not fooled or tricked or blocked.
Yeah. One of the things that I find so promising and intriguing about all this is that if you look back, anytime we tried to treat patients with like metastatic cancers in the past, with some exceptions, but for the most part, if you used like a chemotherapy, you would kill many, many cancer cells, but it was always the case that there would be some population of those cells that would be resistant or that would emerge. And so we would prolong survival when a patient had a metastatic cancer, but we often didn't cure that disease. What really, really excites me about the immunotherapies is that once your immune system has recognized the cancer and begins killing those tumor cells, it creates sort of a positive feedback loop. And the more cancer cells that it kills, the more it processes that material and can recognize other features of that tumor, so that you can get a forward feedback system that allows the immune system to learn as it goes and overcome that resistance. And we see this in our experiments, basically, where we can create what would be tumor cells that are resistant to our treatment, but if the immune system activates, it will learn basically how to recognize those other cells. And we see this clinically in that some, not most, but some patients currently treated with immunotherapies can be cured even if their cancer has spread, we believe. And that's pretty remarkable. That's not something that's been the case in the past.
Well, my word for that is wow. Wow. That is absolutely amazing to me that your work is allowing our immune systems to really be able to fight cancer. Clark in Fenimore has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Clark.
Hello. I'm just curious as to whether or not there's been any work on pancreatic cancer, since there isn't a lot of good therapy, chemotherapy. And I'll take my answer off the phone.
Yeah, having lost three good friends over the last couple of years to pancreatic cancer, that's been on the back of my mind as well. What's the word on that?
Go ahead, Zach.
Well, pancreatic cancer is one of the toughest forms of cancer, no question about it. It is an area where we and many others are looking to use this sort of an approach. And to date, immunotherapies have not yet proven effective against pancreatic cancer. It tends to be one of those more immunologically cold types of tumors that we just mentioned. But that doesn't mean we can't get it to respond. Now, we have seen in the lab where we have some models of pancreatic cancer that we can generate responses using the approaches that Dr. Weikert and I are testing now in the preclinical setting. But we haven't yet moved that forward to clinical testing. We're hoping to do so in as soon as possible. But to date, we don't have any immunotherapies, I think, that have really shown effect there. And part of the reason may be with each of these different organs, in addition to some of the tumor-specific aspects that I mentioned, there are immune-related aspects to those microenvironments. And pancreatic cancer often is a very suppressive immune microenvironment because of some of the other immune cells that tend to reside in that area.
Yeah, and with pancreatic cancer, it's one of those two. This is leading to another question. It's one of those two that often it's not discovered until it's in its fourth stage. And I'm wondering, just to take that a little further into other cancers that you have had treatments with, I assume it's always better to catch things early, but what about the immune system in maybe in a more advanced stage of one of the cancers that actually does work well with immune with your system approach?
Yeah, so there's a lot to be done across the spectrum of cancer research. And if we could develop better techniques for earlier detection and catch cancer before they spread, I think we would make a very big impact. The work we're doing is focused really more on those patients where, unfortunately, when they are found to have cancer, it's already spread, because that's a situation where the current treatments really are not as good as we want them to be. For most patients, when a cancer has already spread, oftentimes we cannot cure that with current treatments. And the approaches that Jamie and I have been working on are really targeted to those patients where they have metastatic disease. And these approaches, because the immune system is not specific to one cancer, and because these targeted radionuclide therapies that Jamie's developed are not specific to one cancer, we believe it could be applicable to almost any of those. To your point, Larry, there are, in some of those cancers that do respond to immunotherapies, there are patients where their cancer has spread, and if the immune system activates, it can undo that. It can overcome the fact that cancer is already spread, and it can kill those tumors wherever they may be in the body. We see that it's certainly not a majority of patients. In fact, it's a small minority of patients currently, but that's where we're hoping to take that as a starting point and increase the rates at which we see that kind of response. And if we can, that's where I think we'll make major improvements in the survival for patients with metastatic cancers.
Steve in Ives Grove has something for us. Let's go there. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yes. My question throws back a little bit to the previous segment with prostate stuff. Well, I'm currently undergoing treatment with abiraterone for prostate cancer that had metastasized in the bones. And my question is, will the immunotherapy work in conjunction with that abiraterone treatment?
Interesting question. Dr. Morris, maybe?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I think the short answer is possibly. It's not something that's yet proven, but there's a lot of excitement about that possibility. One of the colleagues that we're working with here on the grant that was mentioned at the start of this segment, Dr. Doug McNeil, is here, specialist in treating prostate cancer. And he has a project on this grant that we're working on that specifically focuses on these types of approaches to use to develop new treatments for patients with metastatic prostate cancer. I am aware of some data that suggests some of those hormone treatments do impact the immune response to a tumor. And so there are many studies looking at, including some of our own, how those might interact with the immune response and potentially be used better together in combination than they would be alone.
Mm. And that, you know, that research, the funding, I'm not sure that we even got to the amounts on this, but I know your team was awarded $12.5 million, I think, in dollars in funding from the National Cancer Institute. Is this how the dollars are being used? Or maybe talk about how the dollars are being used. Maybe Dr. Weichert, you could join in there.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were informed by NCI that this is the first ever targeted radionuclide therapy PO1 grant. These are the largest of grants that you can get. And we have several other grants that are related to this. So, but that was the most recent, and that's the grant of all grants that you can get. So, and we also had very generous contributions, matching funds from the institution, from UW, for an additional $2 million for that. So this is a, you know, sort of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to be able to really think outside the box, you know, and we think NCI totally agrees with us and is willing to, you know, invest those kinds of funds towards this sort of a project, because it's very new. Nobody's ever done this before, which, you know, makes it really exciting in one sense. But we've had phenomenal support from the UW and the leadership there, as well as the NCI, who actually encouraged us to put this in once they started seeing our results at meetings a couple of years ago. So, this can fund, I don't even know, Zach, how many people do you think are working on this at one time with just for the PO1 grants? Probably 50, 60, 70 people.
Yeah, we have, you know, our monthly research meeting for this entire group. We have a number of smaller research meetings, but we're generally having about 60 folks at a time that are contributing to these research meetings just from this one grant. And so it's a big tent type of research project. And as Jamie mentioned, one of the things that was so instrumental in getting us this funding was the unique resources that UW can bring to bear here. We have just tremendous capabilities and talent in medical physics, immunology, radiology, radiation oncology, and also in our veterinary oncology program, something we haven't talked about yet, but a component of some of these studies, very interesting, Larry, that some of the listeners might be interested in. The targeted radionuclides, when we use these in preclinical settings, they can be limited because many of our preclinical models are quite small, like the lab mouse, for instance, and the radionuclides travel sort of a fixed distance. And so in a mouse, that might be, a good portion across a body, for instance. What we are doing together with some of our colleagues in the veterinary program is offering this as a treatment approach to people's pet dogs that get cancer through the UW Veterinary School. If the pet gets cancer, oftentimes they don't have treatment options. And so this is a free treatment that can be available to those dogs. And it helps us to learn a lot. And in some cases, it can help the dog by treating their cancer. So
maybe you could give us an example, a human example, let's to take, and you don't have to mention names of patients, but I mean, do you have some success stories that you can talk about?
Well, with immunotherapy, absolutely. I would say there are a number of patients that I see now in follow-up where I've had conversations just in the recent weeks where we've been having the conversation of when do we stop scanning now, because we've never had this situation really where you had metastatic cancer. In some cases, I have patients where they had it spread to their brain and it now hasn't come back. And we're coming up on, you know, 5 years. And you say, I might be wasting your time bringing you back for these follow-ups. I don't know. This could be gone. And so that just, I think, highlights some of the newness of it. We don't have guidelines yet to say when we can actually tell these patients their cancer's actually gone or just in remission. So that is very exciting to be a part of. A part of the entire oncology community. On this particular grant, the stuff we're doing, we're hoping to bring two clinical trials starting here at UW in, I would say, the coming year. But the approaches that we're doing on this grant are not yet in the clinic. These are what we're hoping to use to improve on what we're currently doing in the clinic.
Yeah. And breast cancer, is breast cancer a possibility for this kind of treatment?
Absolutely. We do have a number of projects related to breast cancer. We work with one of our colleagues, Linda Schuler's group here, on some studies related to breast cancer that involve these types of approaches. And I would say so far, breast cancer, there's different types, and those that are called triple negative breast cancer tend to respond better to immunotherapies right now with the current approaches in the clinic. And those that express markers like the estrogen receptor and progesterone receptor so far have not responded as well. And that's an area where we're doing, again, some preclinical work to try to see if we can change that to make those that aren't responding currently actually respond to some of these immunotherapies better.
And I wanted to mention, I'm sure there are people saying, oh, I wonder how I could get involved in this. Are there opportunities for others if you've got trials going on? Or how do people actually get involved in these trials?
Yeah, so they can reach out to the UW Carbone Cancer Center and Cancer Connect. We have an open trial right now where we're recruiting patients with any patients with metastatic melanoma, and we're using some of these approaches, and that's ongoing, so that's available. Dr. Mark Albertini here is leading that effort, so they could reach out to him or I or to the Cancer Center. And then in general, I'd say for patients, if it's a question, I would go through the Carbone Cancer Center and what's called Cancer Connect. That's how they get in to see physicians. For the research, we are very excited. Hopefully we convey that through the airwaves here about these approaches. And I'd be happy, I know Jamie would as well, to chat with anyone. We do community, you know, outreach events to kind of spread awareness, and where people want to, you know, consider fundraising. The Cancer Center is a fantastic place to consider supporting with those
absolutely. I can remember interviewing Dr. Carbone himself on more than one occasion. I've been around that long. And it's great to be able to talk with both of you. And I definitely want to have you back. Thank you both very, very much. Dr. Jamie Weicker, Dr. Zach Morris from the UW. Boy, this is exciting, exciting work. And pleased that we have the chance to talk about it today. And pleased that you had a chance to listen in. Thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.